Please turn with me to our sermon text in Ephesians 5, found on page 978 in the Pew Bible. 978, Ephesians 5. We'll start reading in verse 1 and read through verse 20. But the sermon text is focused on verses 15 through 17. So, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Please give it your full attention as it is read. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. If you're lost and you look, then you will find me time after time. Cyndi Lauper. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Steve Miller Band. One more time, we're going to celebrate. Daft Punk. Gee, ain't it funny how time just slips away, Willie? Now I've had the time of my life. Jennifer Warnes and Bill Medley. This killing time is killing me, Clint Black. Time is a tool you can put on the wall or wear it on your wrist. The past is far behind us and the future doesn't exist. From Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. The times, they are a-changin', Bob Dylan. One more, whoa, oh, oh, oh. For the longest time, Billy Joel. It's amazing how often songwriters write about time. And I'm sure most of you right now are thinking of all the songs I didn't name. There's a lot we could have named because it's just so pervasive. Human beings are very interested in time. Even the songs I quoted span decades throughout different generations. They're concerned with time. Throughout different genres of music, we're concerned with time. Why is that? Well, I think it's because, as we say, time is short. There's a great interest and a great importance as to how we spend our time, how we behave, how we walk, how we live now. It's incredibly important. We care about things that greatly matter to us. We care about our jobs, our education, our homes, our hobbies, our appearance. Do we care about how we spend our time in our Christian walk? Do we care about making the best use of our time? The unbelieving culture rages against the church, longing to influence her, to spend her time doing something else. It's all the more reason to heed the counsel of the Holy Spirit here in Ephesians 5. To walk wisely, using your time to walk wisely, That's the thrust of the sermon this morning. We're going to examine the doctrine of walking wisely, the practice of walking wisely, and loving the wisest walker. So the doctrine of walking wisely, the practice of walking wisely, and loving the wisest walker. So the doctrine of walking wisely, it's set forth in verses 15 and 17. Paul says the same thing in two different ways. He tells us there are two ways we can walk, wisely or foolishly. The wise walker understands the will of the Lord, is careful to watch himself, whereas the foolish walker lacks understanding. He stumbles, he falls, he misses the path completely. And granted, all of us long to be wise walkers. None of us would want to be labeled a foolish walker in our life. We all want to be wise. So how do we do that? Well, we look carefully, right? The very first part of verse 15, look carefully, pay attention, be alert. Know what you're doing. Wisdom knows. Wisdom sees the dangers in our paths. Wisdom sees the weaknesses of our flesh and the opposition of Satan. So we want to walk wisely. Where does that start? It starts with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or of wisdom. Not a fear as though God is threatening and dangerous to us, but a fear that is deeply affectionate and reverent to the Lord. Such a fear that we have nothing left to do but humble ourselves before God and seek His will rather than ours. If we want to be a wise walker, we fear the Lord, we seek His will, but how do we know the will of God? In North Texas, the Christian culture around us is passionately interested in seeking God's will, yet they do it through voices, feelings, coincidences, extraordinary events. But those are just the mere imaginings of man. God's not telling us His will through these things. If you hear a voice, it's not Jesus calling. And if these coincidences happen, they are nothing more than that, mere so-called coincidences. We don't have to look to those events for godly guidance in order to walk wisely. Instead, we look to the Scriptures as the only rule to direct us and guide us how to walk. Moses told the church in Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." It is the will of God that we do all the words of the law. And we don't have to read all those first 29 verses of Deuteronomy to understand God's will, although it is good to read those. We can simply go to Deuteronomy 5. We find a summary of God's will for our lives, that third use of the law. We find it summarized in the Ten Commandments. So we see walking wisely is about understanding God's will and not following our own fallen wills. So what does that mean? It means we should study God's Word to be wise. Study the Ten Commandments. Do as the psalmist says in Psalm 1, to meditate and delight in the law of God. It's then that we can overcome these obstacles in our walk. Too many have forsaken the Lord's will and they've gone astray. They wander off the path. They leave it altogether because they followed man's will. But your way will be pure if you guard it according to God's word and His will. And that is very briefly the doctrine of walking wisely, understanding the will of the Lord, especially as summarized in the Ten Commandments, and you will be a wise walker. So one mark of a wise walker is to understand God's will. There is also the second mark of walking wisely, which is to redeem the time, verse 16. Or making the best use of the time. The King James says redeem the time, or says making the best use. And this is the practice of walking wisely, the practice. So let me ask you, what do you instinctively think about when you have nothing to do? Do you waste time? Or do you redeem time? Or how about this? What's most valuable in your life? Things you would never want to waste. Does time make the list? We say things like, time is money, money is time. But time is far more precious than money. It's not to be lost. We say things like, what do you want to do to pass the time? Yet time is a treasured commodity. Grab a hold of it. Redeem it. Make the best use of it. The foolish walkers, they eulogize for missed time. But the wise walker sees the moments coming and uses them to his advantage. That's what the Greek word here actually means. The making the best use of is one word. And it means to gain something by advantage or opportunity. So we should be using time as something to our advantage, making the most of the opportunity. Well, what does that really look like, practically speaking? Children, what does it mean to serve God with your time? Perhaps obeying your parents? Like when they say, go clean your room, and you actually go clean your room. That not only makes mom happy, that pleases the Lord. Or what about loving your brothers and sisters? Sometimes they make us mad, and we want to lash out at them and hit them. But God tells us to love our neighbor. You don't get much more neighborly than living under the same roof, perhaps even sharing a room. So you can use your time forgiving and loving your brothers and sisters. In reading Scripture, ask your parents to read to you the stories of Samuel and David when they were little, how they served the Lord and used the time wisely. Teenagers, I've been getting to know many of you Wednesday evenings. I would say, you've been born into privileged positions. The Lord has given you a godly family that has taught you the importance of Christ, the importance of His Word, the importance of prayer. Let that continue in you. Let that take root in you and embrace it. Embrace the means of grace, Word, prayer, and sacrament as you've been brought up in this way. Let it take hold so that it'll never go away. Have you ever brined a piece of meat? You know, a brine is a salty water solution that you stick a turkey or a brisket in and you let it soak, and that meat takes in the flavor and it takes in the saltiness. And once you cook it, you're not getting the salt out. Teenagers, do that. Embrace the means of grace. Let them take hold of you so that it's never coming out. Remember Ecclesiastes 12:1. As it bids you to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. So may you do so. Redeem the time wisely. Women, how do you redeem the time? Do you use an inordinate amount of time adorning yourself outwardly to the neglect of dressing in the attire of good works? As Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. Is time spent gossiping and slandering? Or is time spent loving your husband and children? Men, if our spiritual leadership was observed, would it be said of us, there is a banner over this man's house with the words of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do we let our children live as they wish, or do we discipline them in order that they do not go down the path of sin? Do we redeem the time by leading our families and households in worship, praying and reading God's Word to those that He has given us? Or do we squander those moments? Because here's the thing, at the end of our lives, when we're lying on our deathbeds, we're not going to bemoan missing that great playoff game on the TV. We will lament lost time reading, catechizing, and praying with the precious souls that God has given us. So may our wives and our children rejoice and say, "Praise God, what a prayerful, godly husband the Lord has given me. What a prayerful, godly father the Lord gave me." Now, of course, not all of our time redeeming activities are just meant for our individual stations in life. A lot of what we need to do to redeem the time is for all of us as Christians. We are called to glorify God at all times. We're called to seek the kingdom. We're called to repent without delay. We're called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yet too often our salvation is worked out with apathy. So, beloved, grab hold of the time. Supplement your faith with virtue, and that virtue with knowledge, with self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. If you're doing these things, you will not stumble in your walk. And when your time runs out, you will find the entrance of that eternal kingdom of the Lord. We must be greedy. Greedy for grace. We need to redeem the time by constantly taking grace in. I've checked with our local reptilian expert, and I'm told the crocodile, as long as he is growing, he is alive. He never ceases to grow while he's living. Brothers and sisters, as hokey as it might be like the crocodile, always growing in grace, taking it in. Because once you cease to grow in grace, like the crocodile, you'll cease to live. So we make the best use of our time. Why is that? Second part of verse 16, because the days are evil. They're not evil in and of themselves, but because of the events that are connected to them. Because of the sinful, fallen world that we live in. Granted, we've been delivered from this evil, this present evil age, yet we are still within its context. It's where we live. It's that weird cross-section of the city of God and the city of man that we find ourselves in. And there's a lot of evil connected with these days that long to rob us of our time. So what robs you of time that you could be redeeming? Do vain thoughts rob you of time? Perhaps it should go without saying, but certainly when we're sinning, we're not redeeming the time. Our sinful thoughts are not time-redeeming actions. We especially need to guard our thoughts because they can turn into actions very easily. Or how about this very morning as we deal with these holy endeavors of worship on this Lord's Day? Do we find our thoughts being drawn away as the preacher preaches? It's very easy to have those thoughts, right? He mentioned brining. I got to get those pork chops brining tonight. He mentioned crocodiles, and maybe you have some questions. It's very easy for our thoughts to go astray. So vain thoughts can rob us of time. Worldly cares can rob us of time. Now, certainly these things can be good. It's good to think about paying the mortgage and buying clothes and buying food. But worldly cares rob us of time when we live all day for the flesh and don't even consider the Spirit. When we don't have time to seriously think about God. Too many live their lives without ever giving a thought to eternity. Unprofitable conversations can also rob us of time. Remember in Acts 17, Paul's at the Areopagus, and we read about the Athenians and some of the foreigners, and what do? They spend all their time in nothing except hearing new things. That's unprofitable conversation. Instead, we need to redeem the time in our speech. In fact, Paul says in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, very similar language to our text. Listen, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. That is how the believer speaks and uses his discourse amongst others. We can also be robbed of our time by excessively indulging the outward man. Something, again, that can be rightly done in moderation. The Apostle Paul says physical training is of some value. Right? There's no problem in going to the gym, getting haircuts and nails done and hair dyed and so on. But it's when we spend more time staring into the mirror than we do in communing with God that it really becomes a problem that robs us of time. One last time robber. Immoderate recreations. Immoderate. Again, nothing wrong with going on vacation, relaxing, watching a baseball game, smoking a cigar, playing Clash of Clans and Fortnite, and so on. These are good things. Boy, the evil days we live in, our culture seems to act like man's chief end is to recreate. Everybody's working for the weekend, right? Recreations are a gift from God, but they're not to be used to excess. If we find ourselves engorged in college football all day, or binge watching Netflix, without having prayed, without having cracked open our Bible, without having given a second thought to the blessings that God has given us that day, we've been robbed of time by our recreations. So thus, the practical examples of how time robs us, but also how we are to live wisely, walk wisely in these days. Now, I've addressed the individual groups. I've addressed all of you as a whole. I've addressed all these things that rob us of time. And I imagine you're now split into two camps. One group of you is saying, yes, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do it. I have bad news for you. You can't do it. The other group is hearing the gravity of this. Wow, I can never redeem all the time. Well, I have good news. With the Spirit of Christ, you can redeem the time. You see, walking wisely and redeeming the time are not things that you can do as you set out on your own. They cannot stem from your flesh. Do you want to be a wise walker? Do you want to redeem the time? You must start with loving the wisest walker. Loving the wisest walker who is Jesus Christ, and consider how he walked. Again, children, do you know how Jesus walked when he was a little boy? When he was 12 years old, he was found spending time at the temple, listening and learning from the teachers there. And the gospel author Luke tells us he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and with man. Fast forward to the beginning of his ministry, we find him being driven out into the wilderness where he is tempted. In fact, we might even understand he had been fasting for 40 days. Why didn't he just turn one of those stones into bread? But no, Jesus knew God's law. He meditated on it. He delighted in it, so that when he was tempted in his walk, he could quote Scripture. In fact, he quotes from Deuteronomy all three times. And then we find throughout those 3 years of his ministry, he's always busy doing the Father's work. He's not idle. We have a saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop, or something along those lines. It's not in the Bible. There's a lot of biblical truth to that saying, though. Satan loves to find us idle. He's an active devil, longing to tempt you away from that path. He doesn't want you to walk wisely. So when faced with temptations, can you quote Scripture like Jesus? Could you say with Christ in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work"? Well, Jesus did do the will of the Father who sent him. Even death that was looming, he knew his death was coming. And he prayed that his sufferings might not happen. But what else does he pray? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was the wisest walker because he sought God's will above his own. And he redeemed every moment of his time, even to the point of death on a cross. Now, he was an innocent man. It doesn't make much sense. Why would he willfully die, spend a lifetime walking perfectly wisely, redeeming every iota of a second? Why in the world would he go and be crucified? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Ephesians 5:2, if you still have your Bible open, look at this verse with me. Again, the walking theme that we have here in this chapter. We read, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The love of Jesus was so great that he would live a perfect life and die in the place of his people. That's an amazing love. That's a selfless love. Does that blow you away? If you want to walk wisely and make the most of your time, meditate upon the love of Christ that led him to a bloody death in your place. And then you will imitate him. See, we must love Jesus in order to imitate him and walk wisely in this time. We're not worthy of Jesus' love because we're really good at redeeming the time. We only love him because he first loved us. And then from that springs the good works that the Holy Spirit does in us. Works like walking wisely and redeeming the time. Now, perhaps you came here this morning not believing in Christ as a substitute for you and for your sins. Maybe this sermon has you thinking. I'd urge you to repent today, to trust in Christ and his perfect works, to trust in the love of Jesus. Don't put it off until tomorrow. We're not promised another breath, let alone another day. Because you might go to bed late tonight, wake up late tomorrow, be late to work, late to your appointment. Don't be late in coming to Christ. Hell is full of people who thought they had time to make amends with God. But friend, none of us is promised more time. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. Which really goes for all of us. We must use our time wisely. Willie was right. It is funny how time just slips away. Don't let it be for you. Make the most of your time. Clint Black sang of killing time. That's not for the Christian. We use time to be killing sin. Granted, the times are a-changing, the days are evil. People invent new ways to sin. We must not forget, we have been delivered from this evil age, even though we still live in it. So remember the doctrine of walking wisely, which is to understand God's will as summarized in the Ten Commandments. Remember the practice of walking wisely, which is especially to love the wisest walker. Because when this old creation runs out of time, we'll celebrate one more time at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When all those who have loved the wisest walker, who have trusted in him for their salvation, will enjoy the new heavens and the new earth, where there are no evil days, and where we will walk wisely for the longest time, in fact, for an eternity. Amen.